south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, back in the saddle again after a couple weeks off. You know, I deserve that, I guess, after 610 shows, whatever. Actually, the truth of the matter is I was out exploring the Decameron hotel situation. You know, it's on a lot of people's mind. I mentioned it maybe a couple of years ago where a person could use his social security check, even less than that, and live for a whole year like a king or a queen in an all-inclusive Latin American-style mega resort. You've heard of Sandals and Vacations International and all those all-inclusive resorts in Cancun, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, etc. Well, this Latin one, the Decameron, isn't a four-star resort, but there's nothing low-class about it, except for some of the vacationers and their kids, but I'll get into that on our next show. The cool thing is it's huge, beautiful, and all-inclusive, and I mean all. Food and drinks, too, 24/7. Anyway, I'm out checking into it right now as we speak, and I have a meeting with one of their reps who sells any number of what they call Decameron club plans. Like I said, you won't find that stuff, that club plan anyway, on the internet. You'll find Decameron resorts as a regular hotel booking, but nothing about the club package plans. The only way you'll ever find out about it is to come down yourself and wait till a little guy or gal approaches you with a clipboard and says, "Hey, have you heard about the Decameron club plan? Just give me 45 minutes of your time and I'll give you 2 nights and 3 days free at this Decameron hotel, good, indefinitely." Yep, indefinitely. Sounds like a bad 90s timeshare spiel, doesn't it? And I definitely recommend you let them have 45 minutes. You'll get 2 free nights out of it. And the freebies for double occupancy, too. So by all means, give them the 45 minutes, at least to get the 2 free nights in 3 days. Question, did you even know there was such a thing as Decameron, a gigantic mega chain of all-inclusive resorts? Did you even know there was a way to finagle a very nice lifestyle living at one of those or many of those resorts? Well, those of you who have been listening to my show for some years now know it does, and the rules have changed, and I'm here to check out if you still can live an entire year at any one of the 50-plus Decameron all-inclusive resorts around the world. Unless than your average social security check. Yep, these resorts are mostly in Latin America, many of them way off the gringo tourist trail, all of them on a beach. I think there's only one that's not in Latin America. It's in Cameroon, Africa. As for me, I've been to over 10 Decameron resorts in about 7 different Latin countries. Some are better than others. Still, they're all pretty good. By the way, in the last 2 weeks, I've been at the Decameron in El Salvador and now one in Panama. And I have to tell you, at these 2 Decamerons, I've only seen 3 or 4 other gringos. And nope, they didn't come down here on their own. They're all gringos or gringas who've got Latin husbands or wives. So that's the connection and why they knew about the Decameron at all. Yep, I've seen 3 or 4 gringos, which really is an amazing revelation since the one I'm at right now has 500 and something rooms and holds 2,000 people. Which is why I have to say it's one of the best-kept travel secrets in the world. Mostly because I think you really have to know your Spanish to get around here. Even though most all the signs are in Spanish, French, and somewhat misspelled English, almost none of the staff or grounds workers speaks English at all. However, when a little guy ran up to me with his clipboard yesterday and noticed I was a gringo, he said, in very broken English, "Don't worry, mister. We have a vendor who speaks English. Don't worry. As if, you know, not to lose that big gringo fish from the U.S. that might really buy big into the plan. Anyway, I'm going to find out all about it later today, and I'll be reporting on that on the next show. Should be interesting. In fact, I guarantee it'll be interesting, so stay tuned. So anyway, I've been off for 2 weeks, and emails have been flooding in asking, what happened to Johnny? Did he get fired? Is he dead? Well, as Mark Twain once said, the rumors of my death are slightly exaggerated. At first I thought, Oscar Wilde said that, but then I remember, nope, Mark Twain, otherwise known as Samuel Clemens. Remember him? Well, if you're under 40, you probably don't, because you didn't have to read any of the great books, did you? Speaking of famous dead people, in respect to the timely death of Uncle Fidel Castro, actually, I don't mean respect as in the Aretha Franklin style of respect. I mean in respect to the news that he died. You know what I mean. Anyway, unlike the vast majority of Americans, I've had a chance to visit Cuba a couple of times. Nope, Americans were not supposed to go. When I went to Cuba, I just flew out of a Latin American city, and when you landed there, they just never stamped your passport. That was part of the deal. So that was the trick they used to get first world tourists. The Cuban government loves American tourists. Why? Because they're so short of U.S. dollars. Yep, as two-faced as the Castro regime and the Castro brothers have always been, they slammed capitalism but invited the tourists in through the back door to spend as much money as they possibly can. So, if you came through with an American passport, what most people didn't know, unless, of course, you were a Cuban-American, they never stamped it. So, no telltale marks of visiting Cuba ever appeared on your passport. On my last trip down, I made a couple of those mandatory tours to those famous Cuban cigar factories. Now, when you're a non-Latino tourist in Cuba, that would be U.S., Canadian, European, whatever, your little vacation trip is almost exclusively confined to the old city, the old town of Havana, with those wonderful old broken-down structures that look so majestically distressed on the outside, but when you get in the inside, they almost all have no working plumbing and often smell like mold and urine. Not good. But except for the old restored hotels, the government really doesn't want you to go into the average person's residence, and I don't blame them. And the other place you almost always end up as a gringo, European, or Canadian tourist is Varadero Beach. That's a strip of nice first world hotels, almost all owned by Canadians and Spanish firms. First world prices, too. You know, Cuba ain't cheap. Now, last time I went on one of those Cuban cigar factory tours, that would be Cohiba and Monte Cristo, that's when you could really see old Uncle Fidel's influence, because the cigar rollers were all on the first floor, and then there was a balcony where there was always someone up there reading from a book or manuscript. So workers would get up there for an hour or two reading, and everyone would get their turn, eventually. And the books they were reading were always Spanish classics like Don Quixote and other ones we've never heard of, along with, surprise, surprise, the writings of Uncle Fidel and his actual speeches. And you know, Castro could talk. He was king of the marathon babblers. In fact, one of his speeches from the presidential palace clocked out at 7 hours of continuous flatulent babble. So if you ever do get to visit a Cuban cigar factory, and I highly recommend it, you will hear some Marxist rants and some classic literature, but it'll all be in Spanish, so you probably won't understand anyway, which, believe me, is a good thing. By the way, regarding cigars, love them or hate them, it's a very interesting process seeing the best ones in the world being made. In fact, I learned a few things I never would have learned otherwise. One is that the famous brand name on the band, that is the cigar band around each cigar, was not there for show or to advertise the name. You'll never guess this. Well, the bands were first placed on cigars after they were imported to England, since back in the 19th century, only the wealthy and aristocrats in Europe could afford to smoke expensive cigars. Turns out gentlemen in their dinner jackets and white gloves had a problem because the cigar would stain the tips of those gloves. Oh, the troubles of the rich. So a smart British importer first started putting the bands on, and his brand sold like hotcakes. I think that brand was Huffman. And then there's the persistent rumor that the finest cigars are rolled on the thighs of Cuban virgins. So is it true? Well, I got to see how those cigars were rolled. In a big, open warehouse kind of place, like I said, with a balcony and a person reading. And that rumor, it's partially true. All the cigar rollers on the main floor were women, mostly toothless old grandmothers. So where did the more pleasant version of that rumor come from? It's more likely that it came from the smoker's testing room. Turns out in one factory I visited, at least, there was a room with three quite beautiful young Cuban ladies smoking cigars. Yep, that's their job day in and day out, smoking and testing cigars coming off the rolling floor. And for some reason, they all seem to be young, beautiful women. In fact, the tour guide said young ladies have the best, most sensitive taste buds. an absolute must for that kind of job. So Uncle Fidel's gone, and we've got his brother Raul to deal with. Now, everyone in Cuba knows that Raul's a stand-up drunk. He was considered a huge embarrassment to his brother Fidel, and he was often not invited to state dinners and meetings and stuff because he'd just get drunk, fall asleep, and pass out with his face in the soup. In fact, there are plenty of incriminating pictures like that floating around. How about that for a supposed world leader? You know, being a drunk, a pedophile, and a sociopath are prerequisites for high political office these days. But you knew that already, right? In fact, more than one Cuban national told me that Fidel threatened to have his own brother exiled to an island if he didn't dry out. That after many unsuccessful attempts to take the cure. So when Shakespeare said, "Yes, it's good to be king," well then, is it good to be the king's brother? Well, maybe. Who knows? Anyway, you remember when Jay Leno had the Tonight Show? He had that segment called Jaywalking where he'd ask questions on the street about American history and stuff, and Americans would overwhelmingly prove how stupid and uninformed they were. And then you might remember recently a guy named Mark Dice who does basically the same thing, even more so. Dice has a number of famous YouTube videos showing how stupid Americans are. In fact, some of his YouTubes have been censored and banned, which is par for the course these days, right? Anyway, a couple of journalists here in Latin America are copying that method, doing man-on-the-street interviews, showing how stupid and uninformed Latins are. And this week, those journalists went around Latin America asking the question on the street, who is Fidel Castro? And as it turned out, for people under 65, get this, only 4% knew who he was, where he was from, knew anything at all about the Cuban Revolution. In fact, they got answers like this. Fidel Castro, mayor of Puerto Rico. Fidel Castro, name of a cigar, a beer brand. Star soccer player, a tequila brand. Fidel Castro, Mexican singer, Mexican soap opera star. And get this, one 26-year-old Panama girl in a business suit said, "I see him on CNN all the time. He's a Latin sportscaster." Now, that's almost as bad as people who think that Judge Judy is on the Supreme Court. You can see that on one of Mark Dice's YouTube videos, by the way. All right, moving into second gear now. Things are a bit strange down here in Latin America in the wake of the Trump election. In fact, you can tell everyone's a bit nervous. Why? Well, just after Trump's victory, all the big Latin newspapers are suddenly loaded with full-page ads from the big cell phone companies, that would be Claro, Tigo, and Movistar, and others, offering special multiple-minute deals, not for local calls, but calls to the U.S., exclusively. Yes, they're called U.S. Friends and Family Plans. So why is that unusual? Cell companies have done promotional offers like that in the past, but not like they have in the last week or so. Let me put it to you this way. What would you think if, from up there in Seattle, Cleveland, or Milwaukee, a TV commercial came on or you opened up your local newspaper and saw multiple full-page ads offering great deals to talk to your friends and family in Latin America? You'd think there was some kind of mistake. Who would put out such an ad? How many friends and family do you have in Latin America right now? But you'll see all kinds of ads like that placed here in Latin American newspapers for calls made to the States. So what does that tell you? Good old expat Eddie chimed in on that one, and he said his fiancé's family stocked up on minutes this week when they saw that deal because, well, they've got plenty of aunts, uncles, cousins, primos, tios, abuelos living up in the States right now, most all of them, as they say, without the proper papers. And the fact is, everyone wants to check in with their relatives to see what's really going to happen now that Trump's been elected. Oh, and by the way, the other day I was in a gas station in Panama. There were two guys working at the place, and one of them, when he saw I was a gringo, ran up to me quickly and started speaking in English. Friendly guy, asked me where I was from and all that. Then I said, "How'd you learn your English so well?" I do that often, you know, when I run into someone whose English was particularly good, especially when they're stuck doing a crap job that's beneath their English qualifications. Then I know they were illegals in the States for a long time and deported somehow. Yes, I say deported, but they'll almost never tell you that. He said he lived in St. Louis. I said, "St. Louis, huh?" He said, "Yes, I loved it there. It was great." How long? I asked him. He said, 8 years. Now, that meant this kid slipped in when he was around 12 years old. And I said, well, then why aren't you up there now? Which is always a loaded question. And then he said what they always say. I'm here because it's my country. My family's here. And then I said, so you'd rather be here than up in the States? And then he shrugged and said, well, I don't have my papers in order. And you know, in my 27 years down here, that's the first time a Latin who I knew had been deported was totally honest with me. And then he mentioned Trump. You know, everywhere I go these days, Latins ask me about Trump. It's always, what do you think about Trump? And then they roll their eyes or give me kind of a half-forced smile because they really don't know when they talk to a gringo, if they ever get to talk to a gringo, whether you love him or hate him. I mean, there really is no in-between, right? And I said, well, what about your friends up in the States? What do they think about Trump? I said, there's a lot of talk that Latins are going to pack up and leave. And in your case, they'll be coming back to Panama, won't they? And he said, oh, no. I don't know anybody that's going to leave who's up there now. They love America. And I said, but, you know, there are an awful lot of movie stars and celebrities up in Hollywood that said they're going to leave the country if Trump becomes president. And then he gave me that deer in the headlights look. He said, no, really? Why would they do that? They made their fortune up in the States. Why would they leave? By the way, I've asked that question to a number of Latins here at the Decameron, and everyone gave me the same answer. All those media and entertainment people are doing great up in the States. Why would they leave? By the way, if you do a search on the net, you'll find there's at least 25 Hollywood celebrities that said they'll leave the country if Trump wins. And they've been very outspoken about it. And I say, leave, but don't come to Latin America, please. We don't want you. Especially guys like Samuel L. Jackson. I never could stand that guy. He chews up the scenery. He says he's moving to South Africa. Well, they can have him. Then there's Jon Stewart. He's a weasel. He says he'll move to another planet. So I say get a hold of Elon Musk. He'll lend you a rocket booster. Tell you what, if Elon straps it to his back, I'll light the fuse, okay? Then Chelsea Handler, another big mouth, no talent. She wants to go to Spain. They can have her. And Al Sharpton, well, he wants to go to another place, too. That place should be jail. Spike Lee wants out, and George Lopez, a comedian, wants to move back to Mexico. He says if Trump wins, we won't have to worry about immigration. All the Mexicans will go back on their own. Yeah, right. And you'll do your Mexican homeboy stand-up routine for who, then? Then there's Barbara Streisand and Whoopi Goldberg. What a tragic loss to the home of the brave if they left the States, huh? Why, I don't think it could function. Then you've got Miley Cyrus, who'd be doing the world a favor if she got on that rocket with Jon Stewart, but that's probably not going to happen now that she's got Chris Hemsworth. Meanwhile, the estimated 40 million Latins up in the States who are there illegally, they won't leave, Trump or not. By the way, don't think I'm a Trump supporter. I just think he's going to be the captain of the Titanic and he'll go down in history as the guy that went down with the ship, actually the Empire. Oh, and by the way, the other day I went to a Western Union. Why? Because I was trying to buy something on the internet. They only took American Express and Western Union money transfers. I think they call them MoneyGrams now. So I went down to the nearest Latin bank. Almost all of them have a Western Union or a money transfer service. And I said to the lady, I'd like to do a cash transfer of $82 to a company in Europe. And she looked at me like I had a booger hanging from my nose. She said, what? You want to send money by Western Union? We don't do that. We only receive money. Of course, she was talking about those multi-billion dollar remesa payments coming from the States, from Latins, mostly illegals, sending money home in drips and drabs. I mean, come on. Who would have thought money would go in the other direction? She said, no one has ever come in before asking to send money to the States. What a concept, huh? And I said, look, you've got probably 15,000 Western Union branches here in Latin America, and no one sends money back to the States. And she said, not that I know of. All right, so on to Plan B, right? There's always a Plan B. And speaking of Plan Bs, I'm getting a continuous stream of emails asking me about my seminar. Well, I can tell you this. I've got 2 spots left, and it's a little over a month to showtime. So if you want to snap up those 2 last seats, just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link, and sign up. Enough said about that. Except to say again on that subject of leaving the States because Trump won. Well, I've heard people say they're going to go to Canada. In fact, the Canadian gringos I know down here in Latin America, and there's quite a few of them here, say they don't want whiny socialist slash activist liberal types there either. Their words, not mine. They say, please don't come to Canada. Now, speaking of celebrities, you'll never guess who I ran into the other day at a place called Cayala in Guatemala. Now, you may not know it, but there's a giant first world model city about 20, 25 minutes outside of Guatemala City, completely isolated, away from everything, upscale in every way. It's one of those planned, homogenous developments that you see in the States where the shops are all on the first level and there are condos and townhouses on the second and third level, and it's supposed to keep you there. All services and shopping provided. And people have to see this to believe it. It's totally upscale, first world all the way. And this one, right outside of Guatemala City, has everything you could ever ask for. It's all high-end, though, even an IMAX. Therefore, first world expensive. And yes, it's in the epicenter of what I call the Latin American real estate bubble. Everything's way too expensive. And in fact, the place opened up around 3 years ago, and they're still adding on phase one and two, and they've only sold about 10% of the housing units. Why? Because they're all over $250,000 US, and less than 1% of Latin Americans can afford that. And even that 1% are all tapped out on credit cards. So as for this project, it was a $1 billion mistake. A very poor business decision, but, you know, no one ever sees the bubble when they're right in it. All that is obvious at nighttime, when you see there are almost no lights on at all on the second, third, and fourth floor, the residential areas. However, it is a spectacularly beautiful complex, totally secure. And I make a point of bringing my seminar attendees there just to show them that a place like this can actually exist in Latin America. It's amazing. You just won't believe it. Another sign that this gigantic, beautiful complex is in the epicenter of a huge real estate bubble is that although you see people walking around because it's a very nice place to stroll with the kids and the dogs and stuff, almost no one is buying anything in the high-end shops. In fact, no one goes in the high-end shops. They're all outside walking around buying ice cream and popcorn and stuff for a Sunday stroll or having a bite to eat at one of the pizza joints or restaurants. But no one's doing anything but window shopping at any of the 50 or so high-end first-floor stores. Now, I know two somewhat upscale Latins who have shops in that complex, and they can't even make enough money to pay their overhead. And guess what? When their yearly contract renewal came up, they gave notice, and the owners made them an offer they couldn't refuse. Free rent for 6 months, because they want to keep the retail storefronts filled with high-end stores. It would look bad if there were a lot of empty spaces in a gigantic first world complex like that. Now, contrary to what a lot of people think when they visit that place, they're thinking, there's just so many millions, even billions in it. Narcos must own this. Nope. It's a gigantic family-owned sugar company, so big they actually own a giant bank, too. So, they're loaded with money. However, it's going down a big rat hole now. Yep, and now they have this gigantic billion-dollar project that's only 10% sold after 3 years. They're still building. They've got all the retail storefronts filled, but only about 10 or 20% of them are making their nut. Classic sign of a real estate bubble, maybe? You think? But I digress. I really digress there because I was trying to tell you who I ran into at that place called Cayala just a couple weeks ago. How about Iron Man himself, Robert Downey Jr., on the sly? So you have to ask yourself, when people say, don't go to Honduras, Salvador, Guatemala, you'll get kidnapped, picked up, and tortured by narcos. Or worse, too scared to leave your hotel room, so you're stuck watching Whoopi Goldberg, the Kardashians, and Miley Cyrus videos. Yuck. Well, guess what? Robert Downey Jr. was hanging out, no bodyguards in sight. He's not really Iron Man, you know. Funny enough, only a few people recognized him. So then if it's so dangerous, why would a guy like that come down to Guatemala, huh? And you know, over the years, I've run into a lot of celebrities in Guatemala. Why do they come? Always very low-key, incognito, hoodies and stuff. Like, for example, in the Lake Atitlan region, considered the most beautiful lake in the world, you know. Over the years, I've personally run into Sylvester Stallone, Mel Gibson, Jimmy Page from the Zeppelin, Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, And I spotted but never spoke to Mick Jagger. And I just found out 2 weeks ago, Paris Hilton, you know, the one with the single-digit IQ, came down twice in the last year searching out a place to build a Hilton. That'll ruin things, won't it? Hope that never happens. So, does Guatemala sound like a narco-infested, war-torn battleground to you? Well, to the average doofus up in the States, it does, and let's keep it that way, okay? Oh, and get this, a few years back, I spotted Harrison Ford in Antigua, Guatemala. He was there for some kind of do-gooder event. Now, that's a cool, safe city, too. And guess what? The hotel concierge told me that he was scared to death of stepping outside his front door. Yeah, right. Indiana Jones. What a wuss. Like they say down here, apariencias engañan. Appearances are deceiving. Oh, and one more last thing about so-called celebrities. Did you know, surely you didn't, that Latin Americans are thoroughly pissed off at Kim Kardashian? Why? You'll never guess. It's because, starting with the latest season of the Kardashians, she came equipped with that same big old butt, but with a completely different voice. It's as if your favorite TV or movie star suddenly had a complete vocal makeover. Well, big deal, you might say, but the lower, middle, and cleaning lady classes are really pissed off about it. Because, you see, most of them are thoroughly convinced that the Kardashians and everyone else in first world televisions that's transmitted down here speak perfect Spanish. Like you really wanted to know that fluff, huh? Well, what it really shows is how naive Latin people are. Most, until this little Kardashian vocal scandal blew up, really did believe those were their real voices, even though their lips are never quite in sync. How could they be? The truth is, there's a specific little crew of voiceover specialists in Mexico City that do practically all of the Hollywood movies and TV that end up down here on cable in Latin America, including all the Pixar, Disney movies, and cartoons, too. And not so long ago, I saw the whole bunch, 15 or 20 of them, as guests on one of those stupid Good Morning America clone shows called Good Morning Latin America. What else? That's why so many voices in so many different movies and TV shows sound very much the same. Yep, details, details. This is Latin America, you know.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.